Radio 680 WCBM.
And welcome back to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL. I'm Frank Luber, along with our guest attorneys here this evening, Jonathan Shakur and Phil Federico from the firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten, where you can get answers to any concerns you may have about medical negligence, wrongful death, or personal injury that may involve yourself or friend or loved one. We're discussing here this evening the just-settled pedophile pediatrician case won by the law firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten for $123 million. Of course, we're talking about the pediatrician in Lewis, Delaware, Dr. Earl Bradley. Fortunately, thanks be to goodness, he has been put away and will be put away for the rest of his life.
About 140 years or 14 consecutive life terms plus something tacked on top. He's finished.
He's finished, but I understand he's still trying to work the appeals process somehow or another.
Well,
fat chance.
There are two aspects to this. One is a criminal prosecution, and Philip and I and our firm, Shakur, Federico, and Staten, are civil lawyers. We don't do criminal prosecutions or defenses. What we were involved in, Philip and I and the firm, was the civil end of going against those responsible for and permitting this doctor, this predator, this monster, to be on the prowl for 15 years and to sexually abuse hundreds of babies and children. So we're on the civil side of that. The settlement that we've attained, this $123 million, will be paid. This isn't going up on appeal for years if our listeners aren't sure. This will be paid for the children.
Now, some may ask, well, how is it going to be paid if he's in jail?
Because it is not his insurance. First of all, this type of conduct is not insurable as of probably around 1986 in this country. Insurance carriers, meaning companies, wrote policies which excluded sexual deviants from being covered. So if a psychiatrist has a boundary violation with a patient, or if this pediatrician violates the children who are his patients, it's not insurable neglect. It's not neglect at all. It's a volitional act on purpose. So there's no insurance for that. So we were put to the task of cobbling together, putting together a claim for the hospital and those responsible for permitting him to practice when they knew or should have known that he was a sexual deviant, a pedophile.
Now, this started out, Phil, as a criminal case, and of course, later on, Shakur, Federico, and Staten came in on the civil end of it. But how much of the testimony involved in the criminal case were you able to utilize in representing the victims' families here?
Well, Frank, the criminal case was very helpful. The Department of Justice and the state of Delaware deserves a lot of credit. They cooperated with us substantially. The first thing they did was the governor of Delaware passed a new statute of limitations law that applies to sexual abuse cases for this case. If the old statute of limitations law in Delaware were to have remained in effect, about 90% of our class would not have been able to file claims. So the Delaware governor, Governor Markle, was very sympathetic and did the appropriate thing. The Department of Justice did a wonderful job, frankly, of reaching out to the victims and putting them on notice of the fact that they had the opportunity to join the class and receive compensation. Getting to the criminal trial was interesting. There were 103 videotapes that Dr. Bradley had made of his assaults on various children. Using that evidence in the criminal trial, they actually didn't show the videotapes because they were so horrifically graphic. What they did was they had police officers who are trained in this area watch the videotapes and then testify as to what they saw so they wouldn't have to show them. But that testimony became available to us to use. And as you know, this case was not litigated in the traditional sense. We didn't have a trial. This case was settled by way of a mediation, and this mediation lasted 16 months. So when we were negotiating with the various insurance companies from BB Hospital, and they're the big companies. I mean, it's AIG, it's Princeton, it's the biggest of the and the best of the, in the insurance industry, we had a lot of ammunition that we were able to to get via the criminal case to use, because obviously if that information made its way into a civil court in front of a jury, the size of the verdicts could be astronomical.
I think what was perpetrated here had to be very convincing, even to these hard-nosed insurance representatives.
Well, it was really interesting because the first time when we started this mediation process, we met with them initially. Their view of a wrongful touching, they were trying to analogize this to a lot of this sexual assault to, for example, a circumcision where, you know, children don't remember being circumcised, so a lot of these victims aren't going to remember being sexually assaulted. And that sort of mentality changed dramatically over the course of 16 months, and it was much of what came out of the criminal trial that helped convince these insurance people that they needed to pay.
Some of the videotapes, I understand, indicated kids playing so-called creepy. What was that?
Well, you know, the videotapes are actually very difficult to talk about, Frank.
Yeah.
And suffice it to say that they contained images that were frankly unimaginable and frankly something that nobody should ever have to see.
This was just not touching. We're talking about actual sexual encounters here.
Oh, absolutely. There was rape. There was intercourse. It ran the gamut. You know, it really did.
Also, unnecessary vaginal exams performed on little girls.
Everything that any of our listeners can imagine occurred.
Unbelievable.
And it occurred on a repeated and repeated and repeated basis.
Detective Scott Garland of the Delaware State Police High-Tech Crimes Unit said the rapes were violent and brutal, not just rape, but violent and brutal rapes.
Yeah, well, one of the things that was actually very helpful, as John said before, that sexual misconduct, sexual assault is often excluded from insurance policies. But one of the things that wasn't excluded from a number of policies was the traditional assault and battery. And because a lot of these assaults went beyond what would be termed a normal sexual assault and were more along the lines of a physical assault, we were able to obtain more insurance coverage than we otherwise would have been able to obtain. But some of these encounters were so bad that the children needed to be resuscitated after the encounters were over.
The videotapes, were they shared by Bradley with other pedophiles?
You know, that's a good question. I don't believe so. There is a national database for child pornography that the Department of Justice told us about. And they are able to actually take the images, the photographs. What they would do is they would take a still picture of the child's face from each videotape. They enter it in this national database that law enforcement uses throughout the country and try to do a cross match to see if they can pick up any of these videotapes having been viewed elsewhere in the country, and they were not able to do so, which is a very positive thing, obviously.
We're going to take another break right now, and we'll continue to discuss the worst case of single perpetrator sexual abuse in the country.